members.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The chaplain is Reverend John Estream from the Catholic Charities of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Good morning.
Thank you.
How are you doing today?
Well, how are you?
Good to see you again.
As we take a moment to pray, I ask you to remember Mr. Bill McDonough, Father Kevin McDonough's father, who died this week, and the funeral is tomorrow. Let us pray. Loving God, we are grateful for this day and for all the opportunities and the challenges that are part of this day. We ask your blessing upon the great state of Minnesota, upon all of us who live here and work here, who raise families and run business, who farm. We ask for continued blessing upon the leadership of this state and upon this Senate. Help us as we gather to remember all the people of Minnesota. Help us to remember the voiceless and the faceless, those who live in the shadows. Guide our work, give us courage and wisdom, and keep us safe always. We make this prayer in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Secretary will take the roll.
Anderson, Bach, Berglund, Betzold, Bonhoff, Carlson, Chaudre, Clark, Cohen, Dahl, Day, Dibble, Dill, Dahl, Erickson, Ropes, Fishbach, Foley, Fredrickson, Gerlach, Gimsey, Han, Higgins, Igabretson, Johnson, Youngbauer, Koch, Coring, Kubli, Langseth, Larson, Latz, Limmer, Laurie, Lynch, Marty, Metzen, Michelle, Moi, Murphy, Olsen, Olson G, Olson M, Ortman, Pappas, excuse me, Parasol, Pogamiller, Pretner Solon, Rest, Roebling, Rosen, Rummel, Saltzman, Saxhog, Scheid, Senjum, Sharon, Sieben, Skoy, Skogan, Sparks, Stumpf, Tomasoni, Torres Ray, Vandeveer, Vickerman, Wergen, Wieger.
Quorum is present. First order of business is messages from the House.
Yep. This message is for Senator Erickson Ropes. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House in which amendments the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate file 1218, a bill for an act relating to elections. Senate file number 1218 is herewith returned to the Senate. Signed, Alvin A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Erickson Ropes.
Good morning, Mr. President. I move that the Senate concur in the amendments by the House to Senate file 1218 and the bill be placed on its repassage as amended.
Senator Ropes, Erickson Ropes, would you tell the body what has changed on the bill, if you know?
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, this is the Minnesota's Overseas Voting Act.
Come on.
We passed this bill last year in the Senate. It was unanimous, I believe, perhaps one objection. We've been working with the governor's office in the House and a secretary's office to work on some language. Basically, one of the concerns was we were requiring military members to use their military ID number, which is actually their Social Security number. And some people are concerned that in the voting process, people may have access to military members' Social Security numbers, so we dropped back to the four digits.
All right. Let's listen to the senator's remarks as they pertain to Senate File 1218. There's been some amendments put on this bill by the House, and we should be aware of what the changes are. Let's respect our fellow senators and listen. Senator
Thank you, Mr. President.
Ropes.
I also had a conversation yesterday with Senator Rest. We went through the bill and all the changes from the House, so she feels pretty confident in the bill, and I think it has some good changes that make sense, and this puts us in a position to get some support from the governor. So I support the changes, and I ask for the Senate support.
Discussion. Senator Erickson Ropes renews her motion, the concurrence and repassage, that the Senate concur in the amendments of the House to Senate File 1218 and that the bill be replaced on repassage as amended. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Discussion. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File Number 1218, a bill for an act relating to elections, changing certain procedures and requirements for absentee voters, providing for privacy of certain voter registration information, etc.
Secretary will take the roll on the bill. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 60 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to.
This is for Senator Higgins. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file as amended by the House, in which the amendments, the concurrence of the Senate is respectfully requested. Senate File Number 1298, a bill for an act relating to elections. Senate File Number 1298 is herewith returned to the Senate. Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the Senate do not concur in the amendments by the House to Senate File 1298, and that a conference committee of 3 members be appointed by the Subcommittee on Conference Committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On the motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
The next message is on House File 3220, Senator Vickerman. Mr. President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House File Number 3220, a bill for an act relating to local government. The House respectfully requests that a conference committee of 3 members be appointed thereon. Davney, Marquette, and Lanning have been appointed as such committee on part of the House. House File Number 3220 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with the request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Vickerman.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate concede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File Number 3220, and that a conference committee of 3 members be appointed by the subcommittee and conference committees on a part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on a part of the House.
On the Vickerman motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following House files herewith transmitted. House files number 3066 and 3172. Alban A. Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Next order of business is first reading of House bills. There are 2. They are printed on today's agenda, and they will be reported to the committees as indicated. Without objection, first reading of House bills. Next order of business is reports of committees. Senator
President, I move
Mr. They're on the printed on today's agenda and the addendum.
Mr. President, I move that the committee reports printed in the agenda be adopted with the exception of the report pertaining to appointments.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President.
And apparently we need a motion to table.
Mr. President, I move that the committee report pertaining to appointments be laid on the table.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Next order of business is second reading of Senate bills. There's one printed on today's agenda and the addendum. Given its second reading. Second reading. Second reading of next order of business, second reading of House bills. There's one today on today's agenda, second reading of House bills. There's one motion on today's agenda and one to be read.
Senator Bach moved that his name be stricken as a co-author to Senate File number 3328.
Okay. On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. There's a number of resolutions printed on today's agenda. Without objection, they will be referred to the Rules Committee. Proceed to the calendar. Senator.
Does he have to make?
Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, remaining on motions and resolutions, I move that we take up the Senate calendar.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. There will be nine roll call votes. The first bill on the calendar this morning is Senate File 3139. This is a Senator Latz bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 3139, a bill for an act relating to crime establishing offense related to interfering with internet ticket sales.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed. Its title agreed to. Second bill on the calendar, number 2, Senate File 3218. This is a Senator Bach bill. The secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 3218, a bill for an act relating to workers' compensation, adopting recommendations of the Workers' Compensation Advisory Council.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. We had 62 ayes, 1 nay. The bill is 63 ayes and 1 nay. The bill is passed and it's title agreed to. The next bill on the calendar is number 3, which is House File 3662. This is a Senator Lori bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 3662, a bill for an act relating to local government, providing for a public hearing and public testimony before making an appointment to fill a vacancy on a county board.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. In 64 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The fourth bill on the calendar is House File 3138. This is a Metzen bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
House File 3138, a bill for an act relating to state government ratifying state labor contracts.
Secretary will take the roll.
My friends.
All senators voting, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 62 ayes, 2 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Fifth bill on the calendar is now Senate File 2605. This is a Senator Saltzman bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2605, a bill for an act relating to the Metropolitan Council, providing for staggered terms of Metropolitan Council members.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 56 ayes, 7 nays. The bill is passed. It's title agreed to. The sixth bill on the calendar, Senate File 3758. This is a Senator Dahl bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 3758, a bill for an act relating to energy, modifying provisions relating to power transmission lines, etc.
Secretary will take the roll.
No changes.
Oh, there they are. Excuse me. Okay. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There'll be 63 ayes, 1 nay. The bill is passed and its title agreed to. Seventh bill on the calendar, Senate File 3360. This is a Senator Foley bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 3360, a bill for an act relating to animals prohibiting the possession of certain items related to animal fighting.
Secretary will take the roll. Secretary will close the roll. We had 64 ayes, 0 nays. The bill is passed and the title agreed to. The eighth bill on the calendar is Senate File 2930, Senator Scheid's bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 2930, a bill for an act relating to commerce, regulating debt management services, etc.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote. Secretary will close the roll. There being 64 ayes, 0 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. The last bill, number 9 on the calendar, Senate File 3775. This is a Senator Dahl bill. Secretary will give the bill its third reading.
Senate File 3775, a bill for an act relating to solid waste, establishing a pilot program to collect and process used paint.
Secretary will take the roll. All senators having voted, desire to vote, secretary will close the roll. There being 63 ayes, one nay, the bill is passed, and its title agreed to.
Mr. President.
Our remaining under motions without objection, we'll have Senate bill introductions. They're printed on today's agenda. Without objection, first reading of Senate bills. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, remaining on order of business of motions and resolutions, I move we take up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. President, I move the Senate to now resolve itself in the Committee of the Whole for the purposes of taking up the general orders calendar.
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails.
Mr. President, members, I'd like to designate General Orders Number 1. It's a list of, it looks like, about 10 bills. Senator Wergen, the plan would be to deal with the first 8 or 9 of these and then take a brief recess for caucus, allow some members to talk about 1 or 2 items on here, and then come back and finish up. So I would yield to Senator Marty.
First bill on general orders, number 9, House File 3477. This is a Senator Marty bill. Senator Marty.
Mr. Chairman, I move when this committee do arise that House File 3477 be recommended pass.
Okay, Senator Marty, discussion on the bill.
Mr. Chairman, members, this bill is one that accomplishes 2 main functions, one of which is to double the time, the reinstatement period for manufactured homeowners in default, and the other one is to allow manufactured homeowners the same rights as other homeowners from predatory lenders. I don't know of any opposition to this. The House actually has slightly different language, which we may well adopt in conference committee because both sides are trying to work out their differences. But I know of no opposition to this at this point, and I'd urge your support and be happy to stand for
further
questions.
Discussion on the bill. Senator Marty renews his motion that when this committee do arise, it's House File 3477 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The second bill, number 63 on general orders, Senate File 3069, Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee arises, Senate File 3069 be recommended to pass.
Senator Michelle, discussion on the bill.
Mr. Chair and members, in just 2 months, the best women golfers in the world are going to be coming to Minnesota, specifically to Interlochen Country Club. This legislation calls for some special auto license permits in order to get the competitors, these 156 female golfers, to and from the course. There is estimated to be 150,000 spectators coming to this event in June. It's going to be, hopefully, the most highly attended women's golf event in the United States history. So this will allow us to move the people in and out and move the competitors in and out. We have also done this kind of special permit legislation for some of the other larger men's golf events, including recent events at the Hazeltine Country Club. Mr. Chair, I do have, at the request of fiscal staff, the A3 amendment that I'd like to offer to make sure that the funds raised for this special permit go to the right place.
Secretary will report the Michelle A3 amendment.
Senator Michelle moves to amend Senate File 3069 as follows, page 1, line 18. This is amendment A-3.
Senator Michelle, on the amendment.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Just a technical amendment to make sure the language of this bill gets the money raised for the special permit in the right place at Driver and Vehicle Services. We've reviewed this language with Senator Murphy, with Senator Cohen and his staff, and I know of no opposition.
On the amendment, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Any further discussion on the bill? If not, Senator Michelle renews his motion that when this committee do arise, the Senate file 3069 as amended be recommended. Excuse me, I'm sorry, Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Would Senator Michelle yield for question?
He will yield. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Michelle. I guess it's not clear to me why we're creating a special plate. It appears to be for a very limited number of vehicles for this event. I wanted to be clear why we would do that. I mean, a lot of times, and I will admit that, and I've said in committee, I'm not a big fan of creating special plates in any circumstance, even the ongoing plates. And we've had sort of a mushrooming of that happening in Minnesota law, and the license plate was intended originally and is intended for the use for identification purposes.
Mr. Chair, I can't hear anything.
Quiet down. Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The license plate was intended for law enforcement purposes and for identification purposes for our law enforcement, and so that's really a larger issue, and I'm not trying to get to that. But I'm wondering in this case, because these are temporary, what is the need or public purpose for issuing this set of plates for this event?
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Larson. We've specifically tried to use the word permit because this would not be a brand new plate that you and I have on the back and front of our cars. This is specifically for the window of time. It's 10 days, I believe, of when the actual tournament will be in place. This is for the courtesy cars that shuttle the players and their families from hotels or local residences to the club and back. And then when the tournament is over, that permit expires, and then those vehicles, these courtesy cars, will go back to the dealers, who will then, of course, try to sell them. And, Mr. Chair, just one more addition. This is exactly the procedure we have followed when the men's U.S. Open was here, when the PGA was here. So this is not setting any new precedents. But it is unique, I think, to golf tournaments.
Senator Larson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator Michelle. I guess what I'm trying to find out is what operational purpose does it resolve? I mean, is it other than just wanting the? I know that these are professional golfers and the cars are fancy looking. And is it a status thing, or is there a public purpose for using the license plate to identify that's a professional golfer and their family that are using that vehicle? I guess what I'm trying to find out is, does that provide for a special public purpose in terms of them being able to enter the car to non-restricted areas? Or I guess that's what I'm trying to find out. Or is this just kind of a celebration that the event is occurring?
Senator Michelle.
Mr. Chair, these are brand new vehicles. So this plate allows them to drive on our roads just for that short time under that permit, and then they go back again to the dealer, a sponsor of this event, to be sold.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Michelle. That is an answer to the question, and I appreciate that. I think that is an understandable desire for the, I guess if those cars wouldn't have dealer plates available to them, and I guess I don't know the circumstances in that case, in these circumstances. I did want to also inquire with you, however.
Okay.
I noticed.
Here we Please, please, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I noticed in the bill, in Section 1 of the bill, it is notwithstanding, as I understand, and I'm looking here at the bill, Section 168.1293. And that's the statute that we set in place to go through all the hoops, if you will, to make sure that these are valid requests and there's a permit fee, and I noticed this is exempt from that standard, and I wanted to find out why this would be exempt from the application fee and the process by which the commissioner would have to consider whether it's a valid request or not. So I guess I'm curious why this project would be exempt from that statute.
Hey, Senator Michelle.
Mr. Chair, Senator Larson, this I have some more information. I'm not sure if it's responsive to your last question or your earlier one, but dealer plates, the typical dealer plates that you might see that are used when people are taking a test drive, those are only valid for 4 days. And so the reason that there's a duration, there's a time issue, we need these plates, this permit, to be good for the course of an entire week, for the course of this entire tournament. So that's why we need to go beyond the more typical 4-day dealer plate.
Senator Larson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Michelle. I understand that part of it, and I think that I understand why you're doing it for that purpose. I guess my question is why we are, in this bill, exempting the Interlochen Country Club women's event, golf event, from 168.1293, which has a $20,000, I think, application fee to the commissioner, which requires a process by which the commissioner has the application received to them, the process by which the commissioner will consider it, the process by which the design will occur, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm wondering what the rationale is for exempting this event from Statute 168.1293.
Senator Michelle.
Mr. Chair, Senator Larson, I am told by staff that we have to use that notwithstanding language for all special license plate requests. And Mr. Chair and Senator Larson, I've also been, it's also been made clear to me that these vehicles are not being titled. They're not being titled. So that's why there is no title or registration fee reference in this.
Senator Larson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Michelle. I have increasingly become sort of weary of the special license plates as we've had this debate over the years, as we see every group coming forward for. And I know this is a little different than the license plates, the other license plates, that because they are more permanent, and this is for a narrow, and I understand the purpose is to make those cars legal for that period of time, and that perhaps the typical permit doesn't allow for. But I hope members really think about this as we work forward in addressing these license plate issues, and that's to remember that the purpose for these license plates are for law enforcement to identify vehicles, and for law enforcement to have the tools they need to enforce the laws in Minnesota on our roadways. And oftentimes what complicates that is that we create artwork on our license plates that makes it much more difficult to read. And so I guess we would have to, if this bill passes, we'll have to trust the commissioner that those license plates will be readable and will have not gone through the typical process that's set out in statute for this, for that design process to be considered. And we'll trust the commissioner on that, and that's fine. But I hope members think about that in the future on this bill and on other bills so that we don't make a greater challenge for our folks that serve us in law enforcement.
Senator Michelle.
And thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, Senator Larson, I don't think I've made this point clearly, but these are not special plates. These are not special plates. So there's no design fee. This is only a temporary permit. So I understand your concern about law enforcement and legibility and what it's going to look like. And again, this is not a special plate. It's a permit. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any further discussion on the bill as amended? Senator Prettner-Solin.
Mr. Chair, I rise to speak in favor of this provision, this bill. And maybe I can give an example. I have a couple of close friends in the Duluth area who are good golfers. They will be coming down to the Twin Cities, volunteering their time for 10 days to transport the golfers in the Women's Open from the airport to the to their hotels, from the hotels to the golf course. And I think that all this does is to ensure for the professional that they have a safe ride, and they have people who have been cleared by the U.S. Golf Association to be able to transport these people in this capacity. So I support this bill. Thank you.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Foley.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would speak in favor of this bill. This is a long-standing tradition and operation. MnDOT has certain plates that they use. Earlier pushed was a dealer plate, and that has certain uses, but it's not generally used in this context. And there also is a manufacturer's plate, which could have been used in this, but that's too not commonly used. And so I think the legislation provides use of a vehicle while this golf tournament is going on, and the bill should be passed. Thank you.
The discussion.
Mr. President.
Senator Corey.
Mr. President, members, this probably doesn't have a lot to do with this, but I just thought it would be important for members to know this, that the our license plates have been made by the prisoners in the Minnesota Correctional Facilities for, I don't know how long, but a long time, and the facility in St. Cloud would make the license plates, and now they've moved the operation to Rush City, which I actually went and took a look at 2 weeks ago Friday. And I would just encourage members to go take a look at this new way that they're doing license plates. It's incredible. It's a machine made by 3M, and it's about $1 million machine. It makes beautiful license plates. And I would just encourage you to go look at them.
Senator Michelle renews his motion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next bill on general orders will be Senate File 3331. Senator, excuse me. Before that, Senator Dibble, we're moving up Senate File 2988, Senator Olsen, and then Senator Dibble, you'll be next, okay? Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 2988 do be recommended to pass.
Senator Olsen, discussion on your bill.
Mr. Chair, I have an A4 amendment that I'd like to offer at this time.
Secretary will report this Olsen amendment.
Senator Olsen moves to amend Senate File 2988 as follows. Page 4, delete Section 4. This is Amendment A-4.
Senator Olsen on the amendment.
Mr. Chair, the amendment strikes the rulemaking provision of the bill. There was a fiscal note on that of $25,000, and the bill lays out a number of procedures and rules within the bill, so I don't believe that this rulemaking provision needs to be in there.
Okay, on the amendment, all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Now, Senator, tell us what the bill does.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is an important bill, I believe. There were three incidents or three things kind of came together to form this bill. In the start of it was a 14-year-old girl named Amanda Berglund, who was killed about a year ago when she was riding in a Type 3 vehicle. And a Type 3 school bus is anything like a Dodge Caravan or a, it could be a car or a SUV that is transporting students. In this instance, Amanda is hard of hearing and was going to a special hearing school in St. Paul and lived in Scandia. And on her way home, it was a contract carrier who was driving this, I believe it was a Plymouth Caravan or a vehicle like that. And the driver plowed into the back of a Forest Lake school bus, killing himself and Amanda Berglund. And it came after later testing and found out that he had marijuana in his system. So this is one of the things that's driving this bill. The other thing is that I need to thank Senator Wieger for allowing us, Senator Hand and I co-chaired a subcommittee on school bus safety this summer, and we had testimony from Amanda's parents and also from a lot of other folks involved in the school transportation industry. So those are two of the things. And then the third thing was the legislative audit report on school buses. And we've taken a lot of language from their report to develop this bill. The key portions of the bill are that it bans cell phone use in a Type 3 vehicle. It bans any level of alcohol. Today, somebody operating a Type 3 vehicle could operate that vehicle with the legal limit of alcohol in their system. So we've eliminated that. No tolerance for alcohol. We've put quite a bit of training on the operators of these vehicles. We're also mandating a health exam and pre-employment drug and alcohol testing and then random drug and alcohol testing. So we believe that this will tighten up a lot of the, it seems to me there's been a big loophole on these Type 3 vehicles, and this bill will address a lot of the concerns that have been raised in from the legislative auditor and the, what we heard in our subcommittee on school buses. With that, I would ask for your support.
Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Olsen moves it. Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm wondering if Senator Olsen will yield for a question.
He will yield, Senator Ortman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Senator Olsen, it looks like you've done a lot of work to make this mode of transportation safer. I'm wondering if you know if the current law requires seat belts for these students, and if not, why would you not include that?
Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chair, Senator Ortman, on vehicles that currently have seat belts, students must wear them. But we also do have language addressing training the drivers in the proper use of seat belts. And we did have some concerns raised from some people in the industry about that. And my position is that a lot of kids being transported in a Type 3 vehicle may have special needs, and they may not totally understand the seatbelt operation. So we do have training in there, and they are required to use them. Thank you.
Senator Ortman.
Mr. Chair and Senator Olsen, I didn't think that your answer was very clear. Either they are required to wear seat belts or they are not required to wear seat belts. Okay, thank you.
Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Olsen renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2988 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next bill on general orders, number 69 on general orders, Senate File 3331, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3331 be recommended to pass.
Discussion on the bill, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate File 3331 deals with a circumstance in Minneapolis on the river. As part of the reconstruction of the I-35W bridge, MnDOT, the bridge, as everyone knows, is going to be slightly larger. Its footprint has grown somewhat. And MnDOT has to acquire some property underneath the bridge that's presently owned by the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board. And they're acquiring that via a condemnation proceeding. This property is a part of the Metropolitan Regional Parks system. As folks may know, we don't really have a Metropolitan Council Park Agency. The Metropolitan Regional Park System is comprised of those park facilities that are owned and operated by 10 different local park agencies. Minneapolis happens to have quite a bit of the regional park system lands that we use on a region-wide basis. What this bill proposes to do is, rather than reverting the proceeds from that sale to the general fund, as is required under current statute, because that property is acquired via a bond sale, state bonds, it would allow those funds to be retained by the Minneapolis Park and Recreation Board for the purpose of acquiring property in that same area that would also remain a part of the regional park system.
Further discussion on Senate File 3331. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Would Senator Dibble yield for a question?
He will yield. Senator Gerlach.
Thank you. Senator Dibble, I was trying to understand the flow of the money on this with the parkland, and I get the idea that it's being condemned and that there's going to be a payment made. But I was just up and I didn't catch this. Maybe you covered this. But originally, I understand the money to buy this was through regional parks, general obligation bonding from the state. And so my question is, and again, maybe you covered this, but it seems to me that that money, those proceeds, ought to come back to the state, and then if there, because that's who's paid for it, and then if there are other needs for other land, that legislators from Minneapolis could come to the legislature and petition the legislature and get those appropriations, since it seems to me that should be really the way this is done, rather than just kind of allowing that money to float around locally when it was state money. Did you address this, and did I miss it, or could you address it for me? Thank you.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Gerlach, you're exactly right. That's the question before the body. It's a decision that the Senate needs to make. The reason I think this is a good idea is because there was a decision made, an effort put forth by the state at one time to acquire a property on the riverfront for reasons of adding to the regional park system, and this simply maintains that same intent of the legislature for that purpose. The proceeds would remain on the riverfront and remain a part of the regional park system. It's not dissimilar to a provision that's being considered right now, being requested by the DNR. When they sell properties, they retain the money for the same purpose. Or the Minsky system, as they divest themselves of particular properties, they retain those funds in an account for property purposes. So Senator Gerlach is exactly right. Typically when the property that's been acquired by an entity via bond proceeds is sold, the results of that sale simply revert to the general fund. That's typically more the case when it's a building that's being operated by a non-governmental agency, even though it's technically owned by a public entity. This simply allows those proceeds to remain in place for the original purpose that they were intended.
Further discussion, Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Morning, if Senator Dibble would answer a question.
You will answer a question, yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yes, and Senator Dibble. I'm, again, just trying to understand the account that you refer to, the parkland acquisition account. Is this a separate fund that is being set up, or does it currently exist? And are there any restrictions on the use of that fund that currently exist, or is this money that would just be controlled by the park board that could be used for any purpose that they wish to use it for?
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't believe we're setting up a new account, but the restrictions are spelled out in the language of the bill itself. The restrictions are that any property that is acquired from the proceeds of this condemnation proceeding remain on the riverfront and remain a part of the regional park system.
Further discussion on Senate File 3331. Seeing none, Senator Dibble renews his motion that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 3331 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. So the next bill on general orders is number 27 on general orders, Senate File 2967. This is Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2967 be recommended to pass.
Senator Higgins, discussion on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In 2006, the legislature passed a bill to permit the city of Minneapolis to impose a park dedication fee on new housing units. the law limited park dedication fees to new residential housing units only and required both the city council and the Minneapolis Park Board to adopt an ordinance to implement the law. Other cities already have this had this similar authorization and use park dedication fees to help pay for new parks and park amenities. Last year, the Park Board adopted an ordinance to implement the law. Then they entered into negotiations with the City Council. The Council came back and requested that the Park Board seek legislation to allow the park dedication fee to be imposed on new commercial and industrial development or redevelopment, just like other cities have. The general state law allows cities to impose this fee on both types of properties. Bill leaves it up to the city and the park board to decide how much the fee will be. I don't believe that's been negotiated yet. We did say in the original law that it has to be reasonable and proportionate, and it must directly benefit the property that the fee is imposed on. I'd ask
further
for your
discussion on the bill. Senator Hamm.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And could I ask the author a question?
You may ask her a question, and she will try to answer it, I'm sure.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Hamm.
And Senator Higgins, you mentioned that other cities have this authority. Do you know which other cities they are, and did each of those cities need legislative approval to impose a park fee on commercial industrial?
Senator Higgins.
Mr. Chair, Senator Hamm, I believe most of the suburban cities have this authority. And the reason that Minneapolis had to seek special legislation for it is because we have a separate, independent, elected park board. So it was because it governs park activities, that was the reason why it had to come and ask for special legislation. Thank you.
Any further discussion on Senate File 2967, Senator Wergen.
Mr. Chair, Senator Higgins, I helped work with this bill in 2006 to get it passed and am no stranger to park dedication fees, but I question extending it to business. To me, it is the people, the new houses and the houses that are existing, that generate the need for a park dedication fee. And the reason we did it with new lots and new homes is because, and it's geared towards new startups and improvements where the general operation and maintenance of a park system falls on everybody that lives within the district. But I'm really curious as to the rationale for putting it on business and commercial.
Mr. Chair, Senator Wergen, the other cities that use the park dedication fee apply it to commercial and industrial. Yes, according to what we have been told, the general law allows that. And take, for example, the downtown Riverfront Parks area. That is heavily used at lunchtime, before work, and after work by people who work in the businesses in that area. They walk, they run, they rollerblade, whatever, along that parkland. To use another example, the businesses that are in the area of Minnehaha Park, their employees use that parkland like it's their very own, as it is, but whether they live in Minneapolis in one of those houses close by, or they live far away, or they live in a different city altogether. So it's we're all in this together, the cities, businesses, their industries, and the residents all use these parks, and they are heavily used parks.
Further discussion on the bill? Seeing none, Senator Higgins renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2967 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next bill on general orders, number 5 on general orders, Senate File 3258, Senator Laurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I recommend that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3258 be recommended to pass.
Senator Laurie, discussion on the bill.
Thank you again, Mr. Chair. This is a bill for our optometrists. It is primarily technical, and it does not change the scope of practice for optometrists. Those are things to be aware of as we go through it. The bill really does three things: all administrative simplification and consolidation of existing language. The first thing is, as I said, consolidates the definition of an optometrist, which was first written in 1915 and has appeared in various sections of our statute since then, and we're pulling these all together into one coherent definition of optometrist. The second thing the bill does is it consolidates the license process from three steps down to one. Historically, optometrists are licensed for three separate things: the use of drops, the diagnosis, and the prescribing of medications. And since the early 90s, all optometrists graduating from a college have been certified at all three levels, and it makes a good deal of sense and administrative simplification to combine these three certifications. And the third thing that the bill does is it allows for the board to accept transferred licensees from other states under an endorsement process rather than the reciprocity that is in the current statute. This bill is supported by optometrists and ophthalmologists. We know of no opposition to the bill whatsoever, and I would encourage member support. Thank
you. Further discussion on Senate File 3258. Seeing none, Senator Laurie renews his motion that when Senate File 3258 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Next bill is number 68 on general orders. Is it Senate File 2204? Senator Scheid.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 2204 be recommended to pass.
Senator Scheid, on the bill.
Yes. Members, this bill came to me via a constituent who works in a parking ramp at a hospital, and he would have people who have a disability and have a set of plates on one of their cars, but they may be driving the car that day, the second car in the family, that doesn't have a set of plates, because current law restricts persons from getting one set of plates. This bill will allow someone to get, if they qualify for the first set of plates, be able to get a second set of plates. Obviously, they will pay for them. And we don't expect there will be a lot of requests for this, but it will be handled through the Council on Disabilities and not. And once that issue was resolved, the department had no more quarrel with it, because there won't be an additional cost to the state. The vehicle services folks won't be involved. It'll just be decided through the Council on Disability.
Further discussion on Senate File 2204. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Would Senator Scheid please yield?
She will yield. Senator Rosen.
Senator Scheid, I was just wondering, what happens to those plates after the time allotment? Are they required to send those plates back in? And would that be registered that there would be two plates that have been authorized?
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding from the testimony in the committee that is those plates are issued to people with permanent disabilities. So they won't. I have a placard myself that's a temporary, and it has a date certain on it as to when it expires. But these are for people with a permanent disability.
Senator Higgins.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator. Senator Scheid, may I ask her a question, please?
Sure.
Senator Scheid, would it be possible for someone to have, you've talked about them having one more plate, if the Council on Disabilities agrees to that. Would there be a circumstance where that person could have more than one extra plate? Let me give you an example. Someone who I know who actually lives in Senator Rosen's district, he and his wife have two cars in their family. For his business, he drives a truck. He now is allowed to have one license plate for people with disabilities. But they actually have three vehicles, and one of them is actually for his business. Could there be a circumstance where he would then be allowed to have those license plates on all of the vehicles in their family.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Senator Higgins, I don't think so, because current law limits to one set, and what we did was go from one to two sets. And so it raises another issue, obviously. I'm not sure that I understood. They would have the disability plates on both of their family cars. Maybe only one of them needs it.
Mr. Chair, Senator Scheid, if I understand correctly, he is the person who is disabled. His wife is not. But they, you know, whoever's car is the closest to the street, that's the car they drive. So some days he drives, you know, the Chevy. Some days he drives the Ford. And then for business, he drives the truck.
And Mr. Chairman.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, we do limit this to two sets of plates. But I'm guessing that they probably use the placard right now anyway, because they're only allowed to have one set of plates. The disabled person is allowed one set. So I think they would still have to use the placard for one of those, but they may very well be able to get the second set, for example, for the truck, which is probably what he probably alone does drive.
Okay. Further discussion, Senator Foley.
Yes, Senator Scheid, would you yield? What my concern here would be you've got two complete sets and on one or two vehicles, and so if the party with the handicapped is in one car, the party driving the other car or truck or whatever it is in a separate car but licensed for a handicapped, and Even there, the propensity for using that for parking, for instance. So I really think that this legislation is not timely, and I would not support it.
Senator Scheid.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Foley, it would still be illegal for the person who didn't have the disability to... I mean, they could drive the car with the disability plates, but they wouldn't, if they were alone in the car and they were not the person who had the disability. It's true today that they may not, if they're alone in the car, they don't qualify to park in the disabled parking areas. They wouldn't be able to do that just by virtue of the plates any more than by virtue of hanging the tag. So I don't think this is, I'm not sure, I think that's what you were commenting on.
Mr. Chair and Senator Scheid, how would the other party get rid of the plate, if you will? Either have it or you don't. And so if you take one car and I take the second, we both have disabled plates, I'm going to be driving a vehicle without any need for plates. And how do you get around that?
Scheid.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Foley, it has to do with where you park. It's the same as if you have a placard in your family, as I do. If my son drives my car, he's not free to use that placard to park in the handicapped area unless he has me with him in the car, because he's not the person who qualified for that. So just having the plate on the car is there for the convenience of the person with the disability and where they may park. But a person without the disability is not able to then use that as in determining where they're going to park. They wouldn't be able to, on their own, park in the disabled parking spaces.
Okay, Senator Foley. Further discussion on Senate File 2204. Seeing none, Senator Scheid renews her motion that when this committee do arise, that Senate File 2204 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed? Motion prevails. The next bill on general orders is number 25 on general orders, House File 3357, Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chair, I move that when this committee do arise, that House File number 3357 be recommended to pass.
Senator Olsen, discussion on your bill.
This is a bill from Senator Wergen and I served on the Municipal Boundary Adjustment Task Force during the interim, and this is recommendations from that committee. It's organization of represented from Township Association and League of Minnesota Cities folks to try to address some of the concerns with annexation. And the bill has got some language changes because the office that's been dealing with annexation has been changed like five times, it seems, in the last 5 years. But now it's being handled by the Office of Administrative Hearings. So there's a number of changes throughout the bill that address the correct office name. And then there's been a few agreements. This is kind of the low-hanging fruit where the Township Association and the League of Minnesota Cities has been able to agree on some changes on annexation. There's hope this committee is task force is going to continue to meet, I believe, till January of 2009, and hopefully they will be able to address some of the more substantial concerns by the League of Minnesota Cities and by the Township. So this is changes that have been agreed by both parties, and with that I would ask for your support.
Further discussion on the bill. Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Senator Olsen. This is an important bill because it's the beginning of a process, but members, I want to talk to you a little bit about what's coming up. This was the easy part. This is the part that cities and townships sat at the table and said, yeah, we can do that without a whole lot of wrangling. But I think we have a great distance to go. And that's not going to be the easy part. And so I guess what I'm doing here today is just saying to the cities and the townships, keep working with us because we need solutions to an annexation process that isn't so good right now. And secondly, to the legislature, as you hear from your cities and townships, keep an open mind because the process is working, and yes, there will be disagreements, but we're dealing with some pretty important hot topics, and we have to actually get into the meat. We can't just pick off the surface like we have and let it go at that, or we really haven't accomplished anything. We're going to get into the meat. It's not going to be pretty, but hopefully we can come out with a product that has a lot of support. Thank you.
Further discussion on House File 3357. Seeing none, Senator Olsen renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3357 be recommended to pass. All those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. The next bill on general orders is number 29 on general orders, Senate File 3441. And Senator Moi.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I move that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3441 be recommended to pass.
Senator Moi, discussion on your bill.
Mr. Chair, member, Senate File 3441 extends to domestic abuse advocates the same kind of confidential or privileged communication protection that we are currently under a current law providing for in different categories, such as, you know, husbands testifying against wives or being compelled to testify, members of the clergy being compelled to testify, a physician being compelled to testify, in a particular more closely to what we're looking at today, sexual assault counselors being compelled to testify. The new language in the bill basically says that or adds domestic abuse advocates to the category of individuals who may not be compelled to disclose an opinion or information received from or about the victim without the consent of the victim or by order of the court. And then it stipulates specifically when the court may order a compelled testimony. There's also a definition of what a domestic abuse advocate is, and the statute basically says that it's an employee or supervised volunteer from a community-based Better Women's Shelter and Domestic Abuse Program eligible to receive grants from the Minnesota Office of Justice Programs that provides information, advocacy, crisis intervention, emergency shelter, or support to victims of domestic abuse, and who is not employed by or under the direct supervision of a law enforcement agency. And so, Mr. Chair, that's the bill. There was a word on line 21 that was inadvertently left in. So, Mr. Chair, I have an amendment to take out the word by at line 21 on page 4.
Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Ma moves to amend Senate File 3441 as follows. Page 4, line 21, delete by. This is Amendment A-2.
Senator, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
And further, Mr. Chair, that's the bill.
Further discussion on the bill. Seeing none, Senator Moi renews her motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3441 as amended be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. The next bill on general orders is number 59 on general orders. Senate File 3780, Senator Laurie.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I recommend that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3780 be recommended to pass.
Senator Laurie, discussion on the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is another optometrist provision. It came up rather late. It is about an emerging technology. The FDA is about to start approving a couple of new types of contact lenses that have pharmaceutical agents embedded in them to help the eye. The first one is going to combine a contact lens with an over-the-counter anti-allergy product. And what this bill allows is it allows for optometrists to not only prescribe these but also dispense them. So it is not a change, again, in the scope of practice. These are things that they can prescribe currently, and they prescribe and dispense contact lenses, but under these new products, existing law would prevent them from dispensing these new contact lenses. We've worked on this with all three entities that are stakeholders in this, the ophthalmologists, the ophthalmologists, and the pharmacy groups, and there is no opposition to this bill. It makes a great deal of sense to let these optometrists actually dispense these contact lenses in this narrow setting. So I would encourage members' support on this measure. Thank you.
Further discussion on Senate File 3780. Seeing none, Senator Laurie renews his motion that when this committee do arise, Senate File 3780 be recommended to pass. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator Pogermiller.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move to recess the committee to the call of the chair for 15 or 20 minutes. Senator Wergen, does that work? 15 or 20 minutes?
Senator Wergen.
Thank you, Senator Pogermiller. That should be just fine, and okay. Republicans will caucus in the retiring room.
No, they won't.
Senator Pogermiller, this morning you were so kind to me on the panel. Aren't you going to be kind to me on this one, too?
Senator Wergen, you can have the retiring room. Majority of caucus in room 112. So I'd move to recess.
On the motion to recess.
Let's say recess till about a quarter to one. To the call of the chair, but roughly a quarter to one.
Okay, on the motion to recess to the call of the chair. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Senate's in recess.
Are we back in order, Mr. Chairman, in the committee?
Senate will come to order.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Pogermiller.
I would move that the committee do now arise and report.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails. Senator.
Mr. President, I move the report of the committee of the whole as kept by the secretary be now adopted.
On the motion, all those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed. Motion prevails.
Mr. President, is there some work at the desk? Did we do the addendum?
Yeah.
So, as of right now, there's no work at the desk?
There is no other work at the desk.
Nothing.
Mr. President.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President, there's no work at the desk. I would then yield for announcements and...
We're on announcements of... Just 1 second.
Can we have a brief recess for purposes of appointing conference committees?
On the motion, all in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. Sentence and a brief recess.
Yes.
Privilege to report at the desk. Senate will come to order.
Senator Pogemiller from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as a conference committee on Senate File 1298, Senators Higgins, Rest, and Larson, and on House File 3230, Senators Vickerman, Lori, and Day. Senator Pogemiller moves the foregoing appointments be approved.
On all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Opposed. Motion prevails. We have Senator Higgins. Do you have an announcement?
Mr. President, members, I left a message or a flyer on all of your desks. Nobel Peace Prize winner Archbishop Desmond Tutu is coming to my district on Saturday. And I want to invite all of you to join us if you would like to. There will be a 1 o'clock address by the Archbishop at North High School. And between 2 and 2:30, he will be at the Cub Foods on Loondale and West Broadway. The youth in my district are doing service projects all day that day, and he will be there to help them between 2 and 2:30. This is an extraordinary event, and we're so pleased that he's coming, and I would like to in turn invite all of you to join us.
The further announcements, Senator Limmer.
Mr. President, I'd like to offer a point of personal privilege.
Yep. State your point.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senator Pogemiller and members, I would like to thank you for the kindness that you all showed to my father, my family, and myself over the recent months regarding the death of my mother. And I want to thank you. You know, when we talk and debate, everything else kind of falls to a very distant second place when you are considering and going through the trials of losing any type of loved one. And I wanted to thank both caucuses for the flowers, the cards from many of your members, and particularly touching was the small bouquet of flowers from the Iron Range delegation. And I want to thank you guys especially, and if you could pass that on to the House members, I'd greatly appreciate it. I know that my mother was highly principled, but at the same time a little feisty, and yet at the same time very caring and very concerned and encouraging of just about everyone she ever met. And so we're in a unique family here in this room, and as a result of that, our differences come and go, but we all know that there's nothing like the loved one that a mother represents in all our lives. So thank you so much for your kindness and your understanding. And on behalf of my father and my family, thank you again. God bless you.
Thank you. without objection, Senator Sieben and Senator Senjum will be excused from today's session all day. Senator Latz and Sharon from 11 to 1120, Senator Vanderveer from 11 to 1125, and Senator Cohn from 1135 to the end of today's session. Senator. Oh, and without objection, Senator Boniff, all day. Is that it? Senator Portnoy.
I want to yield to Senator Bach for an announcement.
Senator Bach.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to announce that I'd like to put a working group together on the tax provisions. The Senate passed their tax bill. We're still waiting for the House, but the House has passed some tax provisions in their finance bill, and those members would be myself, Senator Scoy, Senator Dibble, Senator Moi, and Senator Larson.
Okay, Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. Chairman, I think what Senator Bach is signaling, that when the House sends us their omnibus tax bill, that will likely be the conference committee.
Senator Pogemiller.
Mr. President and members, I move that the Senate adjourn till Monday, April 14th, 1 p.m. Monday, April 14th, 1 p.m.
On the motion to adjourn, all those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, motion prevails. Senate stands adjourned.